sir. Moving on.
Yep.
Ms. Quinn's the next witness on the list. If she's there. There she is.
Kia ora koutou. Ko te aroha te maunga o te rohi, engari ko te kohatu maratoto e pupuri ana tōku manawa. Ka puta tōku whakihihiko mai i te awa hikutaya. No hōraki ahau. Ke tāmaki makaurau ahau e noho ana. Ko Justine Quinn tōku ingoa. Kia ora.
Kia ora, atamaraya.
I have prepared evidence on ecological aspects of the freight hub on behalf of the Section 42A reporting team, which included my 42A technical report and an addendum dated 9th of August that responds to information supplied by KiwiRail in relation to wetlands. I have since received and considered the written statement from Mr. Garrett Walker in response to that addendum. I will focus on the key matters remaining as I see them. First, I wish to restate that I agree the site is degraded and typical of land that has been subject to long-term agricultural land use. I do not consider that this site is inappropriate for the proposed freight hub from an ecological point of view when looked at from a 10,000 feet point of view. With that said, I wish to explain my approach to reviewing the information advanced by KiwiRail in relation to ecology. Simply put, an ecology report was submitted with the NOR material, which concluded effects were generally either low or positive, and I was engaged to review it. From KiwiRail's legal submissions, I understand that the panel is being asked to take into account as part of its overall assessment that there will be a very low level of ecological effect, that there are unlikely to be any wetlands found on the site, and that the ecological features on the site can be improved. I do not consider it as possible, given the level of information provided at this stage, to draw these conclusions. It is one thing to provide a 10,000 foot view of the site from an ecological perspective, but it is another thing altogether to prematurely offer conclusions about what the ecological impact of the freight hub will be based on what I consider to be an incomplete and inaccurate assessment. I totally accept that my reservations about the assessment carried out to date may be addressed by further detailed assessment in a thorough regional consenting process. However, given my concerns about the ecological assessment in this process, it is my opinion that KiwiRail is likely considerably understating the challenges it will face to secure regional consents in the current policy environment, including its potential requirements for offset or compensation measures. I do not share the same confidence as Mr. Garrett Walker as to the ecological values or the future effects as reported. Notwithstanding that only 50% of the site has been accessed, I do not consider that the conclusions drawn are accurate for the areas that have been accessed. As one example, Mr. Garrett Walker said that he did not undertake any assessments in the Mungoni stream as it was outside the designation and outside the zone of influence. This is a very different viewpoint to Mr. Leahy. You may recall the jutty outbits discussion from quite early on in the hearing, and Ms. Bell. In my opinion, the ecological values overall are likely understated, and consequently the ecological and natural character effects are likely underestimated. I listened to the discussion in the hearing between Commissioners and Mr. Garrett Walker about natural inland wetlands, and I remain of the opinion that some of the wetlands identified within the wetland report meet the definition of a wetland under both the RMA and the natural inland wetland definition under the NPSFM. It is also possible that these habitats may be subject to Schedule F of the One Plan. I wish to clarify again that piping, and I prefer this terminology to culverting in this case, is only one part of the expected stream habitat effects. The stream length that is not replaced by pipe will be completely lost, becoming in essence dirt. This is substantial in terms of both the ecological and natural character assessments. I do not agree that the piping of streams will improve their ecological value, as seems to be the messaging from Mr. Garrett Walker. The loss of the potential ecological value will be required to be considered under the NPSFM at regional consenting phase, and the current assessment does not take this into account. In respect of the measures required to address effects on aquatic ecology, both streams and wetlands, interchangeable reference has been made to mitigation, offset, and compensation. These terms mean very different things. Significant emphasis has been placed on achieving no net loss, which appears to have aligned with the conclusion of no permanent adverse effects. In my opinion, given the current expected effects on streams and wetlands, there will be very limited opportunity to mitigate effects within the designation. Accordingly, there will be residual adverse effects that will need to be offset or compensated almost certainly outside of the designation. Notwithstanding Mr. Garrett Walker's discussion regarding humanised perceptions of stormwater ponds, I reiterate my earlier assessment regarding the appropriateness of both the constructed streams, which I believe one of the commissioners referred to as brand new channel, and treatment wetlands to address the ecological effects. There are limits to the ecological values that are likely to be realised in the constructed channel, and the treatment wetlands are for that purpose specifically. I do not entirely agree with Mr. Garrett Walker's assertion that cultural and ecological assessments are separate. In my understanding, the MPSFM puts cultural considerations squarely into the ecology realm while recognising that, very importantly, mana whenua should be involved in the determination of those cultural values. I do not consider this precludes comment by ecologists, as there are synergies between Western science assessments and Mātauranga Māori. While the streams are currently degraded, this does not preclude the restoration of them through riparian planting, fencing and stock exclusion. This would improve the ecological function of the streams, and I understand would also improve the mana and Māori of the streams. In my opinion, the ecological function, mana and Māori of the streams and wetlands within the designation will be irreversibly affected by the NOR. I wish to comment briefly on conditions. I have heard some of the discussion about the ecological conditions that have been recommended by Ms. Copplestone on my advice. My initial recommendations were developed on my understanding that the Regional Council would have the primary role in the consenting of ecological matters, but that this council retained some function. My primary intention was that conditions could be formulated in such a way to ensure that ecological considerations through detailed design of the project were well informed by a stronger information base about the site than what has been prepared so far. Generally, I see such conditions as integrating with the Regional Council's functions rather than stepping on their toes. In part, my recommendations were informed by my involvement in the regional consenting for Waka Kotahi on the Te Ahua Tūranga project, where at the regional consenting stage, I already had the benefit of a carefully developed ecological framework and NOR conditions that had been offered by Waka Kotahi on the earlier notice of requirement, including a no net loss of ecological values condition. I remain concerned at the prospect of KiwiRail proceeding to a detailed design stage without a fully informed understanding of the ecological values of the site. I note that Mr. Garrett Walker has indicated there may be opportunities to minimise ecological effects during detailed design, but if this is to be realised, the first step is still to gain an understanding of those ecological values. While in retrospect, I acknowledge that an ecological management plan may be best left to the Regional Council, I maintain that a full ecological survey of the values of the site should be required so that the ecological features of the site can be understood in advance of detailed design commencing. This will enable the detailed design to proceed with full and complete information as to these values. With this information available, better decisions can be made about how the freight hub's design can address or manage adverse ecological effects. This can only help KiwiRail in advance of regional consenting. Further, it will provide more time for the full extent of ecological effects to be quantified so that measures to address effects, which I consider are likely to be offset or compensation outside the designation, can be investigated prior to regional consenting commencing. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Mackinson, do you have any questions?
Not at the moment. I'm thinking about something, so if you could come back to me, I would appreciate that.
Commissioner Sweetman.
Kia ora, Ms. Quinn, thank you for that. You've certainly raised things which have been vexing me in terms of the wetlands and the stream channel and the stormwater ponds as well, in terms of what is a offset, what is a mitigation, and the like as well. But certainly Mr. Jessen has just talked us through the whole issue in terms of ecological values and to the extent that, given the direction of the RPS and the NPSFM and the like, how much do we consider them at this point? I'm probably saying something, I'm probably making a statement more than a question, but it is, again, we're coming back to that chicken and egg situation to a large degree as well. I There's no question there, but certainly you've raised and highlighted and really got my mind ticking more over in terms of how we address this. And I'm sure Ms. Copplestone is busy taking notes about how she's going to address this with us tomorrow, in terms of what is the most appropriate time, how to trigger that ecological assessment so that the regional consenting and the outline and management plans are aligned in terms of the impact on ecological matters. So no questions, that was just me thinking out loud for once. Thank you, Ms. Quinn.
Thank you. May I respond to your statement?
You can, yes.
Thank you. I think just something that I'd request that the commissioners bear in mind, I suppose, is that the report, there was an ecology report submitted and it concluded some positive effects. And I heard quite substantial discussion around fish passage. Now, fish passage sits squarely in that regional consenting space. The ecology report talks of the positive effects that will come about from the piping of these streams in respect of fish passage. While the panel is making determinations preparing the recommendation, I just ask that consideration is made as to how much weight is put on those conclusions about those positive effects, given that they are based on potentially not all of the information that possibly they could be. And so it's not it's not so much the need for all of the conditions and everything else. It's more that there are some conclusions drawn that you are being asked to rely upon that I'm not convinced they are reliable. And that, I suppose, also comes into the jurisdictional consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Quinn. I am very mindful of what happens if the regional council doesn't agree when it does come time to consenting those culverts, and what are those implications then on the design of the hub as a whole. Yeah, certainly going through my head. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Commissioner Pomare.
Kia ora, Ms. Quinn. Thank you very much for your Section 42A report and for your summary statement today, which has very clearly highlighted the key issues that we are, as you've heard, still grappling with. You very clearly outlined, I think, your position. So I don't have any questions of clarification for you. Thank you.
Just a question. When you refer in paragraph 5 to the current policy environment, do you agree that the policy environment is still evolving? And, for example, there is work being done by MFE in relation to the NES on wetlands in urban environments and things of that nature?
I do agree it is still evolving. As an ecologist making a comment on policy, I'm conscious of my area of expertise, but I think that if we jump forward even further, the proposed environmental bottom lines that may come through the Natural and Built Environments Act could make this even more stringent and harder. So I think that, you know, I do recognise that there is a change, but under the current policy, it would be particularly challenging to put this through.
Yeah. And I think we would all acknowledge that the headwinds for that are greater now than they were, say, 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
All right. In terms of the 10,000-foot model, I'm conscious that from an ecological point of view, if you are looking for, leaving aside the in-stream questions, if you're looking for a site to develop a facility of this size and scale, it's not a bad idea to start with the 10,000-foot scale, to choose locations that are more likely to be acceptable than others. And to that extent, your conclusion that the site is not inappropriate, which is subtly different from it is appropriate, is a statement that there are no ecological barriers in the Part 2 realm that would lead us to conclude the conclusion that there are fundamental flaws in the site selection process.
Based on the current information for the amount of the site that has been assessed, I couldn't say with confidence that there are no matters that would, you know, no significant habitats, for example. I think that my subtlety with the site being not inappropriate, a project of this scale and a development of this scale would be hard-pressed to find a location that would have no ecological effects. I can't think of a part of New Zealand which would have 180-odd hectares of desolate landscape with no ecological values whatsoever. And I think that it comes back to what I explained to Commissioner Sweetman before. It's more around the conclusions that have been drawn and the strength of conviction in those conclusions, where nothing to see here, ecological effects are low, very low, possibly positive. I think that it needs to be accepted that a project of this scale is going to have adverse ecological effects, and that's okay. We just accept them and then we put forward measures to address them, noting that in this instance they'll come through at regional consenting.
Right. So your objection is that your colleague's conclusions are not warranted based on the strength of the analysis and information obtained?
In short, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Mackinson, have you formulated your question?
I have, thank you. And conversation with Ms. Quinn has assisted in some of the information I was seeking. I'd just like to take you back to Te Ahura Tūranga. It is a project I am familiar with. And you mentioned that there was an ecological framework set up as part of the condition suite. And I'm aware that a number of ecological surveys were undertaken as part of that project. And the same vexing question of, you know, regional versus territorial authority jurisdiction was explored, because they followed the same decoupling process of the NOR and the regional consents. And looking at the draft condition suite that we've had from Ms. Copplestone, and I'm looking at condition 99A at the moment. Do you have that?
Are you looking at the new version?
The ones that came through today.
Yes, I do, yep.
Yeah. Okay, so I've had a quick scroll through whilst you've been chatting with Commissioners Pomeroy and Marson. Are there any other ecologically focused conditions we should be looking at? Because my scroll through, this is the only one I can see.
This is the one that we have come to following the discussions through the hearing process and the questions around jurisdiction and where it sits. In earlier versions, we had a more detailed approach to this, which included a list of the types of flora and fauna and habitats that should be assessed, with specific reference to, you know, ensuring that things were undertaken at the right time of year. But that detail has been shrunk back and is now in that condition 99A.
The question I have around part A, small a, of 99A, is that you're basically saying that a complete assessment of ecological values of the designation in accordance with best practices, et cetera, et cetera, is required. I guess I'm just uncertain as to how this moves us forward from the information we already have, given that KiwiRail will be the ones putting the assessment forward. You know, who is going to decide that assessment is actually full and complete? Because I can just, you know, playing devil's advocate slightly maybe, see KiwiRail going, done that. So I'm just curious on how you see it's actually working.
I guess it In part, a complete assessment, for example, might include the entire site, where currently it's limited to 50%. But, and this is perhaps a little bit off the cuff, but they need to do this anyway. They need to do it for regional consenting. So arguably, you could say, well, you know, what is the point of having it there anyway? We're trying specifically to ensure that those opportunities to minimise effects that Mr. Garrett Walker talked about are captured, because, you know, I've heard a lot of discussion around whether the concept design is concept, or how far down that design pathway is it. If there are opportunities to minimise ecological effects, which really do need to be demonstrated when they get to the regional consenting stage, this would be one way of kind of ensuring that. But I do recognise there's no recourse for the council to review the assessment.
Yes, I have the same concern, I guess. And, you know, I do predict there's a very difficult tension for us to resolve here between, you know, whose jurisdiction it is to consider these effects. I'm just wondering whether that might bear a little more thinking about, because we seem to have gone from sort of one extreme of we want everything detailed and documented to a very, very broad, we'd like an assessment, please, but we have no real clarity around what complete means. So I'm just a little bit concerned that there's nothing actually tangible for KiwiRail to get hold of to make sure that they understand what it is that council would like to see in terms of this condition.
Okay. I will take that on board, but I'm also going to, unfortunately, pass on to Ms. Copplestone to help answer that question when it comes her turn, but I will also look into it. Thank you.
It's what planners are for. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Quinn. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
All right. So, Commissioner Sweetman, 5 o'clock is still a deadline, and we haven't commenced Ms. Lindsay. So what I propose to do is to adjourn now and get her on first thing at 9 o'clock. My question to the commissioners is, do you have the capacity to run over tomorrow night rather than run into Friday? Well, give me some feedback on that, because you're giving me multiple requests and we have to get through the evidence tomorrow and Friday. Those are the available dates. So bear that in mind. There's a few trade-offs I have to manage for you all. And we'll see people back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Is that convenient? Cool. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.